The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Hello and welcome into ESPN FC. Kay Murray and Shaka Hislop with you. Also joining us, we have Mark Ogden, Frank LeBoeuf, and back from his vacation, it is Jules Laron, looking golden. Looking like a golden god there. What a tan that is, Jules. You have a nice time.
Very nice, thank you. And a lot of sun as well. And, you know, in our country, Frank is the same. We get a really good time very quickly, not like every people from every country.
Oh, well, you come back in time. For all the drama, it has to be said, Jules, big news today. Harry Kane failing to report to Tottenham Hotspur for training after a vacation of his own. Now, for many, this wasn't a surprise. We did hear reports that the England players had said that this would actually happen. But for others, it has to be quite a big surprise. Mark Ogden, where do you stand on it? Because a few weeks ago, when we were talking about these reports, I know that you said you'd still expect him to turn up.
Absolutely. I'm really surprised by it, because the thing with Harry Kane, you know, he has been, throughout his career, the consummate professional. You know, he's stayed clear of controversy all the way. He's been really upstanding. He's never done anything to step out of line at Tottenham. And for me, this is a real kind of... This is a declaration of war on Tottenham. By not turning up for training, he has literally gone on strike. And, you know, if this was other players with less kind of less stellar reputations as Kane, they'd be being castigated by now. So I do think that Harry Kane has taken a very dangerous step by doing this, because, first of all, we have to wait until we hear Harry Kane's side of the story, and there'll be a context to this. But as it stands, he was expected back at training today. He hasn't turned up. And what that does... That's so damaging to his relationship with the Tottenham fans, who still treat him like a god. I think many Tottenham fans are probably accepting of the fact that he needs to get away and win something to kind of reward his career, because he's been a fantastic player, but he probably needs to win something. But by not turning up for training, I think he's damaged that, and maybe damaged it permanently, because this is going to create a real kind of standoff now with Tottenham, the chairman, Daniel Levy, who may be really stubborn about it and say, you've got 3 years left of your contract, you're going to have to stay for at least one more year. And if that happens... He's going to have to play for Tottenham again. So he's taken a really, really bold move. This is kind of this is the ultimate move that if it fails, you're in a mess. And I think Harry Kane has taken a big gamble and it might not pay off.
There's a lot of talk about a gentleman's agreement between the two, that's his assumption. What could be Harry's excuse for not turning off?
That Daniel Levy and the Spurs board are going back on that gentleman's agreement. I for one... there's lack of evidence, I believe that there was a gentleman's agreement between Harry Kane and the Spurs board. Harry Kane has served this club incredibly well during his time there. Signing a new deal, I felt that Harry Kane had to recognise where he stood in world football. And you don't put your name, you don't sign that long-term agreement, even with a boyhood club, even with a club that you love so dearly, if you don't feel that there's a future, if you don't have that little bit of an escape clause. And I think he thought it right that would come in the form of that gentleman's agreement between himself and Daniel Levy. Now, at the same time, I don't think that this happened in a vacuum either. I think there have been conversations between Harry Kane, between Daniel Levy, and who seems determined to stick by what he's saying publicly, to not allow Harry Kane to go. So while it comes as a surprise, I think it's what Harry Kane needed to do to get himself away. And while there may be some blowback from the Spurs fans in the short term, I don't think this damages his reputation in the long term. Luka Modric had to make a similar stand to force his move through. Gareth Bale had to do something similar to force his move through. And if those are the examples that is set, and Daniel only seems to be what moves Daniel Levy, and he's not at all willing to recognise or respect that gentleman's agreement, then Harry Kane, in my opinion, was boxed into a corner and had absolutely nothing else, nowhere else to go in trying to force this move through.
Frank, where do you stand on it?
It's hard to pick a side, but I would say that according to what Xhaka just said, you know, if it happened to Modric, it happened to Bale, now it happens to Harry Kane. I mean, nobody should get a word from Daniel Levy because a gentleman's agreement doesn't mean anything for him. So in that case, I would go on Kane's side. But on the other hand, you know, I think about the institution, I think about the club, and when you have a 3 years contract left, you know, you should show up. Talk through your agent to the chairman and say, you know what, we have the agreement, so I'm showing up. But if you don't want to let me go, I won't show up again. You know, I just want to explain to the fans what's going on right now, that you're not holding your word and telling me that I can go. So you put me in a bad situation. You put me in a corner, and my only way of getting out of that is to not showing up and going on strike. It's not a gentleman agreement right now, what I see. Well, it's a gentleman agreement, but we are not facing the gentleman agreement with two gentlemen. One is not holding his word, and the other one is showing up. It's sad for the club. It's sad for the fans, and it doesn't show a big image of Tottenham Hotspurs.
Jules, are you surprised to see ex-pros being sympathetic to this situation with Harry Kane?
No, I'm not surprised at all. I think we see already he's very divided. Some people think that he should not have done it. Others, like Xhaka and Frank just said you can understand why he did it. There's a few things for me. The first one is, why on earth did he sign a six-year extension deal 3 years ago, back in 2018? There was no need for that. And that's why he's in this situation, because he's got 3 years left on a six-year deal, which he didn't have to sign. He was 25 at the time. He could easily have signed a four-year deal extension, and he would have been in a very strong position right now instead of being in a weak position, because with 3 years left on his contract, you can understand why Daniel Levy is saying, like, you're not going anywhere. You've got no leeway here. You've got no strong position whatsoever. So that six-year extension deal for me made no sense at the time, and even less now with all that hindsight that we have, now that he wants to go and he's almost like in that corner and can't move. The other thing is, I just don't want to imagine what would happen if Paul Pogba, for example, was doing the same at Manchester United, and how the English press would react to that compared to the way they've reacted for Harry Kane.
Rio Ferdinand actually has had a bit of a spat. Well, maybe just a back and forth, you could say, on Twitter with Jamie Carragher about that same situation, about had Paul Pogba done it. But I'd like to come to you on it, Mark. Do you think that this changes anything with Daniel Levy? Do you think this has any type of influence over what his plans are anyway for Harry Kane?
The only thing that will influence Daniel Levy is if Man City offer to pay what Daniel Levy thinks that Harry Kane is worth. And right now, we're all being told that Man City aren't going to go anywhere near the valuation that Daniel Levy's placed on Harry Kane, which we're told is £160 million. Man City won't pay anything like that. And that is the big difference. They could be as much as £60 million apart. So, you know, Harry Kane can do this as long as he wants, but I don't think it's fair from Harry Kane to do this to Tottenham if Tottenham aren't being offered what he is worth. If Man City had offered asking price and Tottenham had still refused to budge, then Harry Kane has got grounds to say, look, this isn't fair. But right now, if Harry Kane is worth £160 million to Tottenham, and Man City are prepared to pay just over half of that, then Harry Kane doesn't have a leg to stand on, because Daniel Levy will say, look, they're not prepared to pay what we think you're worth. So if Man City don't think you're worth £160 million, why do you want to go to Man City if they don't think you're worth what we think you're worth? Now, obviously, there is room for negotiation and room to manoeuvre in this, but it's created bad blood. And Daniel Levy, as we know, has a reputation for being very difficult in the transfer market. He thinks that he can outdo all the big clubs and make them pay absolute top dollar for all his players. Now, I think he's met his match in Man City, because Man City won't fall for that. So we have a problem, we have a stalemate, and Harry Kane could be the victim of that.
Do you think Mark is playing a dangerous game, though, as well? Because obviously that still is a lot of money to be offered for a player. We know next summer there could be players like Haaland available much cheaper, Mbappe available on a free. And by getting that money in now for Spurs, they could actually look to get a good replacement in time for the new season starting. Do you think it could be a dangerous plot from him?
Absolutely. It's a dangerous game that both are playing, really. And I think from Tottenham's point of view, yes, you're right, they could get the money in now and spend it on a replacement, but who do you buy to replace Harry Kane? If you're selling for maybe £120 million, the player that you might think is worth buying at £50 million this week could be worth £80 million next week, because everybody knows that Tottenham will have money from Harry Kane. And as you've seen in the past, when when Tottenham sold Gareth Bale to Real Madrid in 2013, when they get a lot of money in, they don't often spend it very wisely. So if you're trying to replace Harry Kane with less than what you think he's worth, it's going to be difficult. I don't see who Tottenham go for. You're not going to sign Lewandowski or Lukaku. None of these players are going to go to Tottenham. So who are they going to get to replace Harry Kane? They're going to get a player who's nowhere near as good as Harry Kane. So Tottenham can't really win in this unless they keep Harry Kane for one more year and hope that he scores 20 goals again.
Jules, what do you make of this whole situation? One player that I have seen mentioned is Dusan Vlahovic. I know that the Spurs fans are pretty keen on a player like that coming in. But what do you make of this whole situation and this power play from both sides?
Yeah, I think it's a fascinating situation. I agree with Mark completely on the price, though, because okay, let's say there's a gentleman agreement, and one day Daniel Levy and I would want to believe Harry Kane. I don't think Harry Kane. I think Harry Kane is an honest, loyal guy, and if he says that he was told by Levy that if a good offer comes in, they will let him go. I want to believe him. That is the truth. However, a good offer doesn't mean a discounted offer. It means like Oggy just said. The value that Spurs believe is Kane's value. And I think we all agree that Kane right now is worth his edge from what he's done for the last six seasons. Easily in let's say, the ballpark is 150 million. But it's not because someone comes in and offers 50 or 70 or 100 that Spurs will have to open the door and say, OK, we'll let you go. The gentleman agreement is we will let you go if the money is right on the table. And I really want to believe that Spurs will do that. Right now, this is not the case. So why would they say, okay, City have come with 100 million, so because of everything you've done for us, we're going to let you go. That was not the deal. I think the deal was, we will let you go, but the money has to be right. And right now, the money is not right. So in a way, you understand why Spurs have been quite strong on it. And for Harry Kane, then he has to understand that it's also in the interest of Spurs to get as much money as possible or as close as possible of the value of Kane himself.
Mark, I just want to come to you because I know that obviously you're on the ground when it comes to the journalists, especially up in Manchester. Just to go to that Twitter differing of opinions between Rio Ferdinand and Jamie Carragher, and it's something that Jules mentioned. Basically, Rio Ferdinand said if Paul Pogba had not turned up at United, there would have been uproar. That's pretty much in a nutshell what he was saying. Jamie Carragher disagreed, saying it's wrong to not turn up, but he shouldn't ruin his reputation and his relationship with the fans. How do you think that situation would have played out if it were a player like Pogba?
I think Jules is right. I think he would have been absolutely hammered by everybody because, you know, Paul Pogba gets his hair cut or has his hair dyed and he gets hammered. There's certain players that are just unpopular for whatever reason. And I think, you know, Raheem Sterling's another one. If Raheem Sterling had done this, you know, in the past he did it at Liverpool, in a certain extent by refusing to sign a contract. He was absolutely castigated. But Harry Kane is, in many ways, the golden boy of English football and he's the captain of the England team. But I do think, in the terms of fairness, I think that other players, yes, would have been treated differently. And I think we'll see how it pans out this week because I don't think, if you're under contract to a football club and paying your wages, I don't think there is ever a way you can be on the winning side if you don't turn up. You know, no matter what your grounds are, they are paying you a wage, a big wage. You're representing a big club. You've got to turn up. You've got to turn up and find a way to move. But you can't go on strike. You can't not turn up.
How do you think it's going to get resolved, Mark?
I really don't know. And I think the guys have been the same. It's a tough one, this, because you talk about Daniel Levy in Tottenham, who is a very stubborn guy. He's got 3 years left in his contract, Harry Kane. There's no reason for Tottenham to sell him. It wouldn't surprise me if we get to the September the 1st and Harry Kane is still a Tottenham player and he has to stick around for another year. But equally, I wouldn't be surprised if Man City find a breakthrough. But I think the big problem that City have got is if they're not going to pay the money, how are they going to persuade the likes of Bernardo Silva, Gabriel Jesus, Riyad Mahrez, all these players that are supposedly available to go to Tottenham? If I was any of those, I wouldn't go to Tottenham because they're not going to win anything. They're not even in the Champions League next season. So it's really difficult to find a way that this gets solved in the next 30 days.
Just while we are sticking with Manchester media, the Manchester Evening News are suggesting that an approach for Kane will not be financially viable if Grealish joins. That's to suggest that they can only realistically sign one. The aim is to have two of them, but who would be the priority?
Well, I mean, I've been told for quite a while that Pep Guardiola rates Jack Grealish almost as high as Harry Kane. So on that basis, Harry Kane's the priority, but it's very close. I don't think that there's a case of one or the other. I think City think they can get both. They'll push hard to get both. And financially, they'll find a way. They'll find a way to get players out, to move players on, to do a deal for Kane. But ultimately, they'll be able to get the money in, but they value him differently to Tottenham. So if they don't value him at £160 million and value him at 120, it's not going to happen.
Who do they need most, Jacker, out of those two?
Harry Kane. Listen, I agree with Pep Guardiola in rating Jack Grealish very highly. But right now, City's bigger priority, price aside, is a goal scorer, is an out-and-out finisher, especially since the departure of Kun Aguero, who, let's be honest, because of his injuries, hasn't contributed in the way that you know he can or used to. Right now, that position is a bigger void to fill. They have players who can play similar positions to Jack Grealish. Sterling kept Grealish out of that same position for the England national team. So, without question, Harry Kane, for me, is a priority. And if you can only do one, again, money aside and negotiations with Daniel Levy, let's assume that those somehow get resolved, easily you go Harry Kane.
If they do try and get the two, though, how the heck can they afford both of them, Jules?
Well, we know that this summer, and maybe the next one as well, financial fair play, as the words that we've used on the show for many weeks now, is been loosened up. And I think that's probably an understatement, to be fair. So forget about FFP completely, at least for this summer. So if there's one transfer window where you can go a bit crazy and do it, it's this one. And I think if you're City, you go for it. And I agree with Mark, they will find a way, they will find the money to make that deal happen. You can always offload players after the likes of, I mean, Raheem Sterling, we've talked a lot about the fact that he's a bit frustrated by the fact that they haven't started negotiations for and talks about his new deal. And he's got 2 years left on his current one. Riyad Mahrez has hit 30 now. It could be on the market. Bernardo Silva could be an asset as well to let go. So there's a lot of possibilities, things that they can do. And let's not forget, they might find someone who is happy to go to Spurs in a swap with Kane and money. So there's where they can do it. I really think they're going to push for it now. And I do also believe that if Kane has taken this decision, and clearly that's where he stands, is because he knows that City are going to come big. Why would he do that otherwise? He would look like an idiot if he goes on strike and then no one makes an offer at all summer. And then on September the 1st, he said, well, I have to go to come back now because no one wanted me. So I think for Kane to go on strike and not turn up today is because he knows that City are going to come for him big.
Do you think that's the case too, Frank, that he knows that City are going to come in big for him and that ultimately that is where he will end up for him to have pulled a play like this?
Yeah, it would be a complete suicide, you know, if he decided to go on strike without any insurance that City will go for him. So maybe he has that kind of phone call and making sure that Manchester City is going to go for him and going to fight for him until he gets him and he has to play the way he plays now is not showing up, not making appearances to make sure that Daniel Levy is in trouble. But I have a question for the guys, because it's funny, because we had a debate for the All Euros that Sterling, Grealish couldn't play because Sterling was playing. So that won't be a debate if Grealish goes to Manchester City, so they can play both. Suddenly somebody find a solution to play those two fantastic players together. No, that's. I have a question for Southgate, but I can't talk to him, so I'd rather talk to the three guys that I expert as well.
So what have you got to say about that then, Shaka?
I'll give you Gareth Southgate's number. I'm not sure. I'm really not sure to answer that one, Frank. Listen, for me, it's a like for like between the two, whether Guardiola can find space, push Sterling out on the right-hand side, or whether Grealish is happy to sit in behind a front man, whoever that front man may be. Time will tell, but that's why Pep gets paid the big bucks.
Jules?
Well, Raheem Sterling, obviously, started the Champions League final, but before that, certainly in the big games, he was not really in the team. I think he lost his place a bit. And I'm not sure how much Pep Guardiola still trusts him, really. I know he had a great Euros with England, but his club form, certainly last season, was not the same at all. It was actually, you know, one of his worst seasons since he joined City. So maybe that's why he's in Pep's mind. Is Grealish is an upgrade on what Sterling has been doing the last 18 months, for example. And certainly you could see what Grealish can bring to that City team in terms of, especially when you play against a low block, Grealish can take on players in those small spaces. He can make a difference. And I think maybe that's what Pep sees. And for me, if Grealish signs, is to take Sterling's place, not to play with them together.
Would you agree with that, Mark?
Yeah, I do actually. And I think that, you know, in any other summer when people had money, when other clubs had money, I think Sterling might have gone actually. Because I think his situation with his contract is an issue. You know, he's got 2 years left in his contract. I think he wants money very close to what Kevin De Bruyne has been given. I think De Bruyne is the highest paid player in the Premier League now. I don't think City are prepared to pay it. And I think City probably would cash in on Raheem Sterling. So Sterling could be the guy that makes way for Jack Grealish. But I don't think he's going to make way for Jack Grealish by going to Tottenham, which would help everybody in this party apart from Raheem Sterling.
Well, it's good that we got a chance to talk about Harry Kane here, because the news broke just after the Gavin Jules podcast was recorded. It's not quite Gavin Jules at the moment. It's Jules and Robbo, but Mark Ogden was with them. But you must download it, because there's a lot more transfer talk on there. So make sure you do that wherever you get your podcasts. Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com. Kylian Mbappe on his future. My biggest dream would be to win the Champions League with Paris Saint-Germain. Jules went on vacation to try and escape the Mbappe chat that we continually bring to him here on ESPN FC. But now it's back to reality for you, Jules. We must talk about this, not just because he still hasn't signed that contract extension, but also today in the Spanish press, they say that PSG are in fear that there could be one last launched attack from Real Madrid to try and get Mbappe. So is there still time for him to resign?
So there's always time, okay, for him to resign. Of course, you can sign in December, you can sign in January, you can wait until the end of the season and then sign then. This is not a problem. What's true, though, is that the more time goes, the more likely it is that this would be his final season. And I would repeat it again, he's not going to leave this summer at all. He will probably leave next summer on a free, but he's not going to leave this summer. He will play the season with PSG. He will try to win this famous Champions League that he dreams of winning, that the club dreams of winning, that they've never won before. But it looks more and more likely, unfortunately, that this could be his last season up in Paris.
And so it's looking more and more likely like that for you, Jules. Is that how you see it going now then, that he will leave on a free next summer?
I think so. From what we're getting from the club is that they will still try, and we know that Nasser Al-Khelaifi, the chairman, is on the case now. He's dealing directly with Kylian, his father, and their lawyer as well, to try to find a breakthrough somewhere. Even if, again, the current idea now is to sign a short extension so he doesn't leave for nothing next summer, even if it's an extra year, 2 years maybe, and then they can let him go next summer, but at least they will get a small fee for him. But even that, I'm a bit pessimistic now from what I'm hearing from his camp and from the club as well. They're going to try, of course they will. But they also want him to be in the right mindset and state of mind to have a really good season. And I'm not sure you can be in that kind of mindset if every week someone knocks at your door or comes to see you in the dressing room and says, hey, what about the new deal? Let's come and have a chat. Let's sit down. That's not how he will be happy at the club either. So it's a very tricky situation. They will keep trying and maybe find a breakthrough. But I think the more time goes, the more it's likely that he will leave next season and next summer on a free.
Frank, when I first asked that question, I saw that you were shaking your head. Why?
Because I'm not that pessimistic. I think it's not a done deal that Kylian's going to leave on a free transfer next season. Or maybe if he signs to go to Real Madrid, because we don't know the situation of Real Madrid next season. I mean, all clubs are suffering financially. There are only three clubs, and I want to add a fourth one, which will be Manchester United. But otherwise, you have Manchester City being backed up by Emirates. You have Paris Saint-Germain be backed up by Qatar. And you have Chelsea because of the money of Abramovich. But all other clubs around the world are struggling. So what will be the future of Real Madrid next season? We don't know. Will it be more convenient in order to win a Champions League to stay at Paris Saint-Germain for Kylian Mbappé, or going to Real Madrid where, I don't know, maybe in a year from now, we will know for sure that they can't win a Champions League because they don't have the money, because they don't have the player, because they are at the end of a cycle. So it's why I'm optimistic of seeing Kylian Mbappé being more pragmatic and say, okay, you know what, I know that I'm in a big club. I know that I can win the Champions League with that club. So I'm going to stick to that club because it's where my future is, because it's where all the opportunities are coming from, and not maybe from Real Madrid. It's why I was doing like that when Jules was saying that is we live for sure.
Yeah, Jules, that's a perhaps. Does that change your mind a little bit? Does that give you some confidence that maybe he could stay?
Yeah, I mean, I always want to be confident because I want to keep him at the club. The thing is, and Frank makes a good point, the problem is, if he's a free agent next summer, it's not just Real Madrid that we're talking about. You know, if you have to pay 150 million for him, there's not many clubs who can do that. If he's on a free, and we know that there's no free transfers, but if there's no transfer fee to pay, then suddenly that opens the door to a lot of other clubs, you know, the likes of Liverpool, who right now cannot... They can't pay for him right now. But if he's on a free transfer, he's a free agent. This is a different ball game for him. And then you'll have many more clubs, and then he will be able to pick where he wants to go. And if it's not now Real Madrid, which is his absolute dream, he's still 22 years of age. He will turn 23 in December. So there will still be plenty of time for him to go to Real Madrid in 5 years' time, for example. So he can easily go to Liverpool for 4 years and then to Real Madrid when they have more money, when they have a more competitive team or whatever. This is my issue with it, is that if he becomes a free agent, then suddenly there's all those top clubs in Europe who will go there and try to get him to agree to join them. It's not just Real Madrid anymore. And I think if that's the case, then I think he's gone for sure.
Now, the future of Mbappe and many other players is available to read over on the website, ESPN FC's Transfer Talk. Check it out.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I mean, goalkeeper howlers and the Hoff in one segment.
I haven't gotten over that yet.
Where else are you going to get that but ESPN FC?
Goodness me.
Let's hope he's over it in time for extra time. That's coming up next. Thanks so much for joining us today. We'll see you over there to answer your questions.
Oh, God.
Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. We've got some crackers for you today. Even more cracking than Jules' tan. He's back from vacation and he's ready to answer them for you.
Man. Look like you have to drag Jules back.
Very, very nice. All right, the first question.
Don't be jealous.
The first question is from @FugGoose.
Well, we're not
you,
jealous,
Jules.
You're red. You're not tan.
Well,
you're not tan, you're red.
Frank's tan too.
Do you want us to be jealous?
But you've upstaged him.
Yeah,
now,
but
Jules.
It's brown. It's a nice tan. It's not a tan from west of France, you know, wherever. You know, it's red.
All right. Jules.
So much jealousy here. So much jealousy.
Absolute jealousy all over, eh, Jules? Jules, what's more likely this season?
Sure.
Dortmund winning the Bundesliga or Man United winning the Champions League?
Oh.
Oh, that's a really good one.
Okay.
I still think that United need a couple of more players, especially that defensive midfielder role for me. Even with Varane and Sancho, I still think that they will be title contenders, but I can see them coming short again behind City and maybe even Chelsea and a Liverpool team that goes back to what they used to do before when they were really good. I don't know, I've got a feeling that United can still be a little bit short. For Dortmund, I think that could be the season. I think Nagelsmann and Bayern could need a bit of time to get to know each other, if you want. I think for Marco Rose, the transition could be much quicker at Dortmund than for Nagelsmann at Bayern. And if Haaland is on fire, if Daniel Malen, for example, again, hit the ground running straight away, if defensively, finally, they can find some stability with Marco Rose, they've got a new goalkeeper as well, who came from Stuttgart. So for me, I would give slightly more chances to Dortmund than to United to win the title.
Hold on. Jules spent a little too much time tanning, quite clearly. As United to win the Champions League, you started reel off City and Liverpool and Chelsea in the league. As the Champions League, Jules, too much time in the sun.
Yeah.
Well, hang on. What did I miss the question or something?
Yes, is Dortmund to win the Bundesliga?
Yes, you did.
Or United to win the Champions League?
Oh, man, my answer was really good on planning.
I know,
I thought his answer was
still like on
really
planning, though.
We really raised on that. Don't worry, that's going to get deleted.
Does it change anything about your
don't
answer?
Worry, though.
Is it still Dortmund, Jules?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think they're even further out in the Champions League than they are in the Premier League. They can finish second in the Premier League. They're not going to go to the Champions League final, I think.
All right. For Xhaka, have you ever run from one side of the pitch to the other to celebrate a goal your team scored?
No.
Most keepers don't do that.
Nope.
These days,
I don't.
Do they?
It's a long way back. It's a long way back. When I was playing for Portsmouth, we played Sheffield United. It was the top of the table. This is when we were in the Championship. We were first. Sheffield were second. They came to Fratton Park. They were leading 2-1. I run up the other end for a corner. David Unsworth. So I very nicely arced my run far post, you know, so nobody could pick up my run. Unzi puts the ball near post. It gets headed out. I have to go sprinting back. Peter Unlove, who's one of the quickest players in the league, he's on the ball. I'm trying to run him down. He's moonwalking and I can't catch up to him. The ref blew the game off. Thank goodness. And I swore right then, never again. I'm not going up the other end. It is too far. I'm not doing it.
Yeah, too far. Jules, Tony would like to know, why should Pogba leave United when United are building something good under Ole, at least on paper?
Yeah, I agree with Tony. I think, and I think again, I think he's happy. Oggy disagreed on the show, the Gavin Jules show on Monday. But he's happy there, and I think the fact that Varane has arrived, one of his best friends, the fact that Sancho has arrived as well, and they might add more, maybe Kieran Trippier, maybe again a defensive midfielder, pure defensive midfielder too. I think he can see that. That's why he's not against staying at all. But you could also argue that is Solskjaer the right manager to take this team to the next level now that they're really looking like a great team where they're filling the gaps in that starting 11? That's the question, and maybe that could be the problem if they don't reached the level that we expect them to reach with the new arrivals and the new signings on the momentum that they had and the dynamic that they had from last season. And maybe that could be the problem. Solskjaer could be the problem. But I don't know. I think Paul knows there's something bending there. But again, still a lot of things can happen for him.
Frank, I think you're going to like this one. I know the boys are. Dan asks, Frank, are you proud of Alderweireld for following in your footsteps and joining a club in Qatar? Should more players consider this path for money?
Dan Thomas. Is that Dan Thomas's question? That's a great question.
Yeah, that might be Dan Thomas, yeah. Well, you know, if you don't have enough money in your bank account, you know, that's a very good possibility, you know. Think about it.
So you're proud of him?
Yeah, well, you know, I'm not proud of him. I see his father because I see Aubameyang's father quite sometimes, you know, during the summer because we share the same workout location. And I know that Pierre-Emerick is very comfortable with money.
You're not listening to me today.
I don't know.
You're still on holiday.
No.
Who's talking about Aubameyang?
I went.
All the Ferrell is.
I went to.
You and Jules. Too long on holiday.
Yeah, I know. You're still.
You're fried,
on that.
Both of you.
In your head fried.
Well, I don't know. I think I understood clearly the question. You know, if I'm proud of Aubameyang following me, yeah, you know, like I went to Qatar.
The question is Alderweireld, not Aubameyang.
Oh, sorry.
I mean,
sorry. Well. Well, you know, maybe we have
that's
to start.
That is worth it, Jules. That is. Don't worry, Frank. We'll delete that part too. It's okay. Carry on. We'll delete it.
Okay. Alderweireld. Yeah, Alderweireld should go. Should go. Well, I don't care about Alderweireld. He should go to Qatar. Whatever.
Welcome into the smallest ever version of Extra Time because we've had to cut the whole show. Okay. Next question for you, Shaka. Listen carefully. Mm-hmm. Actually, I can rely on you. You're listening. All right. With the Gold Cup and Copa America not betting much worldwide attention and seeing much competition amongst themselves due to limited teams, would merging these competitions together raise the level of competition and attention?
Absolutely, yes. I thought we had a precursor to that in 2016 with the Centenario, which I thought was very successful. And I thought would have been the precursor to how the Americas, North, Central and South would have gone about their business in the future. It makes sense, and I'm surprised that it hasn't been pushed more forthrightly. Listen, I understand why some maybe don't, but I feel in keeping abreast with everything else in world football, it's needed.
Frank and Jules, listen very carefully to the next question, all right? This is for both of you. I'll start with you, though, Frank. Are you concerned about the poor result by the French Olympics team this summer, or do you not care at all?
I don't care at all because I never thought football should be in the Olympics. So it's not a goal for any football players. It never been. We dream about Copa America, World Cup, or maybe Euros when we play with our national team. But I don't think any young player dreams about the Olympics, so I don't care. Now it's a shame from French club to not having and not being able to, not willing to release some players to help the national team to do better. But otherwise, again, that's not a problem for me.
Jules, do you care?
Yeah, I do care, and I disagree with Frank for once, because Kylian Mbappe, for example, one of his dreams is to play in the Olympics. That's why he wanted so much to be in this one, and that's why I really think he would be in the 2024 Paris.
He wants to do like his friend Neymar, who won the Olympics like 4 years ago, I guess. It was that it's just a competition between the two of them, but and because maybe we are, I don't know, in a way, our players are getting Americanized and maybe they want to win the Olympics. Maybe now it's a goal, but I'm talking about my experience and all the friends that I know, we don't care about the Olympics. Because it's not for us, it's for other people.
Has France ever won the football Olympics, Frank or Jules?
Has France ever won?
Did we watch? Solskjaer, say that again.
Has France ever won?
Yes, in 84. When was that?
84 in Los Angeles.
In Los Angeles,
they won.
No, don't bother. I mean, the motivation for Brazil and Neymar to Frank's answer was Brazil had never won the Olympics before 2016. So you understand why maybe they went with a stronger team as they did 5 years ago. But if France has already won now, it in 84...
My problem with that, Shaka, is I understand that, well, whatever, some people can dream about winning the Olympics with football, but I have a hard time, I understand the money talks, you know, I have a hard time seeing basketball, tennis, and football stealing the thunder of all those, let's say, minor sports where people are working very hard for 4 years to be in the lights, in the, you know, for like a month, and those stars are coming up and they steal the thunder. That's my only concern, you know. It's why I don't watch football, I don't watch tennis, I don't watch basketball in the Olympics, because I want to take care of the others. I want to know some other people we don't see on TV. And it's only for them that the Olympics stood up for me, and not for football, basketball, or tennis, who are professional sports.
Frank, you're a real humanitarian. Jules, not so much.
Thank you.
Shaka.
Namaste.
Namaste. Which fan base is hardest to please, Newcastle or West Ham?
That's a good question, you know. I'd probably say Newcastle, especially time when we were there, where there was a whole lot of expectation. West Ham is all about playing football the Greenwood way. And if you do that, they will tolerate the odd bad result more so than Newcastle fans will. That's their traditions. That's where they see the real value in the game. So I'm going to go Newcastle harder to please for that reason.
All right. Last question. Frank, Olympique Marseille has had a good pre-season, but PSG still seems very far ahead with what they've added to the squad. What would it take to revive Le Classique?
I don't know. Like 2, 3, 4, 5 maybe other players for Olympique Marseille, big time players. Marseille is doing great. I watched the last game they played against Villarreal, and it was very encouraging. And we cannot compare with Paris Saint-Germain, because Paris Saint-Germain belongs to another planet, and Jules will witness that very easily. And they lost against Lille, but many players didn't play that game. So we cannot say Paris Saint-Germain is not ready for the Ligue 1. He's more ready than any other club, because they have the talent, they have the personality and the personal to win everything. So I don't know when we're going to see a real classic, I don't know, but Marseille and the American chairman, owner, has to put much more money to bring bigger players to make sure Marseille can deal with Paris Saint-Germain.
I'm going to ask you all this next one, but Shaka needs to be very careful how he answers it. Do you prefer working from home or in the studio?
I definitely prefer to work from the studio. It's much easier. It's very nice to see you guys. And I have to say my English improved because I was in the studio, and it's much more understandable when I'm in the studio than being in my house.
Even with Craig really. Burley complaining about how much you talk.
Well, we just have to go to the opposite. Yeah. You know what, with Craig it's easy. You just have to go to the opposite of what he thinks, you know, and you will have a nice debate. That's easy.
What do you prefer, Jules?
I've never been invited to the studio in Bristol, Connecticut, so
hint.
I don't know.
We'd love to have Jules something. Here.
Jules is off somewhere studying.
Yeah,
he's not coming here.
It's sunny here at the moment, so maybe he could come now. Shaka?
No, but
go on, Frank.
The thing that guy cannot come. Jules cannot come to our studio because he's too busy working for everybody.
He's got too many jobs.
Giving his expertise to all televisions in the world. You know, that's the thing.
Shaka.
I am.
Obviously, you love being in the studio because you get to work with me.
That's absolutely right, Kate.
And Dan.
I was going to say studio. You see, at least in the studio, there's some kind of organization. There's not pure chaos going on, as there always seems to be in my house. So I'm good here.
Yeah, same, what Chaka said for me too. Listen, thank you so much for joining us on the latest edition of Extra Time. You can always catch ESPN FC. It's available daily. Make sure you do that.